for all things sports. The hottest topics, latest events, juiciest stories, and every personal takes. You're listening to Sideline Story.
Hello and thank you for joining us on Sideline Story, your destination for sports news, analysis and discussions. I'm Brandon Yates and today we will be discussing the 2023 ATP and WTA season highlights. We'll chat about the top performers, the current and future status of some of tennis's iconic stars, as well as some of China's top prospects in the sport. I'll be getting into all of these talking points with my two fantastic co-hosts, Yang Guang and Tian Yu. And Yang Guang, of course, the WTA and ATP seasons have come to a close and we've seen some incredible performances from some unknowns and from some iconic tennis stars. But which highlights have stood out for you this year?
Yeah, there's one moment that I really like during the Wimbledon semifinal when Novak Djokovic played Jannik Sinner. Mm. Djokovic mocked the crowd by making a gesture of cry baby.
He likes to get the crowd riled up sometimes, yeah.
After Sinner failed to take advantage of three set points in that match. Actually, the crowd was overwhelmingly supportive of Sinner. And every time Djokovic lost the point, they cheered like Djokovic lost the whole match.
So it completely backfired on Djokovic, that little crybaby move, yeah.
And at one point, Djokovic was down 40-love in his own serve and gave out three consecutive set points. And the crowd was making noises, shouting at him, in the hope to distract him, him, give extra pressure on him.
Right. But he's had an interesting history with the Wimbledon crowd, right? Like sometimes they are on his side, sometimes they aren't. You know, obviously with the likes of Roger Federer, they absolutely adore him. And they still do like and respect Djokovic, the Wimbledon crowd. But he seems to have an on-again, off-again relationship with them. It's never really been consistent love from that Wimbledon crowd.
Yeah, still, I think Wimbledon is still Roger Federer's legacy tournament.
For sure.
But for that moment, Djokovic, point by point, crawled back and won that serve. Mm. That was when he made the gesture of wiping fake tears in front of the crowd. Yeah. Description of the fans' mindset. I'm so disappointed to see Djokovic win.
So he was basically saying, I don't care what you guys do. I'm the champ. I'm going to make it through and wipe these little tears because your kind of attitude towards me is not going to affect my performances whatsoever. Another example of just the incredible mental strength that Djokovic has, right?
Yeah, I think that's also a way of putting pressure on his opponents.
It probably also shows his opponents that he's super relaxed and he doesn't care what's going on around him because he has complete faith in his own abilities and outside factors will never affect him, right?
And he went on to win that match in straight sets. I mean it happens to Djokovic a lot, and he's so used to this playing in the crowd against him, especially at Wimbledon, as you mentioned, and at the US Open. But every time he's facing this adversity, his mental toughness helped him through.
Do you think sometimes with Djokovic in particular, if the crowd is against him, do you think that motivates him to a certain extent?
Yeah, I think the more dangerous the situation is for him, the more patience, the more calmness, precision and energy he generates.
Yeah.
I think many would agree that the 2019 Wimbledon final between him and Roger Federer is the best tennis match ever in history. And after 5 hours, Roger Federer got two match points, actually two championship points in the fifth set tiebreak and in his own serve. Everyone in the stand was standing and cheering, waiting to see Roger Federer win that epic title.
Yeah, the son of Wimbledon. Yeah. They absolutely love him.
But Djokovic overturned that lead and stole the title in front of all the Federer's fans.
Hated him ever since.
It was like a slap in the face to these audiences.
Wow. But it's also just another example of how incredible it is that someone like Djokovic can be in that moment where he's facing Roger Federer's serve, championship point, against a crowd that absolutely is obsessed and in love with Roger Federer, but still manages to claw back from that. I mean, beyond his talent, that mental fortitude is phenomenal.
Yeah, Djokovic this year admitted that when facing those two match points of Roger Federer, he told himself, all the cheers for Roger is actually for him as a hypnosis.
Yeah.
Back to that gesture for wiping fake tears. I think it's a symbolic message from Djokovic for his whole season and even his professional career.
Yeah.
I will silence those who are against me, and I will even make you cry.
Yeah, and also show them, look, you can do whatever you want. It will probably actually backfire against you because it motivates me. Yeah. It actually makes me play even better.
Mm.
So again, and I think that's probably what's going to separate him from some of the other greats in the sport, not just in tennis, but I mean in general sport. Obviously a world-class talent, one of the best players just naturally that I think the world has ever seen. But to have that mental strength, not just generally, but in those moments, those really clutch moments. I mean, it doesn't get much more pressurized than that particular situation in that Wimbledon final that you discussed. To come through that, wow, I think that needs to be remembered and as highly regarded as his talent, if not more highly regarded, because I think talent only takes you so far. There probably have been some tennis players over the years that probably have more talent than Djokovic, but I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that has that level of mental calmness and strength, particularly in those moments. So that will be remembered for a very long time. Yeah. Tianyu,
something more. Please. What Yang Guang said just reminds me of what Cristiano Ronaldo did to the home crowd of Barcelona fans.
And Atletico fans too.
Silence.
And
also what the Messi did to the Real Madrid fans.
Yeah.
To hand his shirt in front of the crowds.
So I think that's interesting. That's interestingly, that's what's common with these great players. They have the mentality to deny these naysayers.
It's just with a sport that I love as well, in rugby, I will never forget, there was a fantastic fly half by the name of Carlos Spencer. He was a New Zealand All Black fly half, a really talented guy, but also known for his mental strength and also just for being a bit of a naughty type of athlete that would, you know, get his teammates riled up, get the opposition really riled up, and also, you know, get on the backs of some of the fans as well. And he was playing against his former team, and obviously the home fans were booing him, and he was going through a tough time. But he managed to score a try. And when he ran over the try line, he actually purposefully took the ball to the corner flag because he's the kicker for the team and scored the try to make the kick for himself as difficult as possible. You know, to show the fans, look, I don't care what you say. So that's also just another example. I mean, that's a bit, wild. I think that's taking things a bit too far.
That's too far.
But there are clearly these guys out there in sports that really, you know, have the talent, and they don't. Outside factors have no effect on them whatsoever, and can even take it to the point where even if the outside factors are against them, it makes them play better. And Djokovic is a fine example of that kind of mental strength. Tianyu, any highlights from the past year from the ATP or WTA tours?
Yeah, I think many, like Yang Guang would say, that the protagonist of the whole 2023 campaign would be Djokovic.
As always.
For winning three of the four Grand Slam titles, and at the age of 36, that was really something, considering he's the fact that he's in the final stages of his career. But
supposedly, I think he can go on for many years to come. I mean, I also had that belief going into this year that maybe we'll start to see some decline. I'm not seeing anything yet.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, but for me, one of the biggest highlights of the 2023 season must be watching Carlos Alcaraz defeating Novak Djokovic and winning the Wimbledon for the first time in his career.
You know, at the age of 19, I think it was, right? 19 or 20.
20, I think.
And the biggest loss for Djokovic the whole year.
Probably one of the biggest upsets we've seen in a Wimbledon final, too. No one expected him to even have a chance in that final.
Yeah, a lot of people were criticizing Alcaraz for being, you know, hyped up too much and not delivering convincing performances in front of these great players, established players. But this year he really just proved himself to all the naysayers for defeating a Djokovic who is at his best form. And not to mention the fact that he was just beginning to play on learning how to play on grass. He has shown some incredible ability to learn how to play on grass and adapt to a court he is not very familiar with.
Well, it's definitely not his favorite court. And I think with Alcaraz in mind, I see what you're saying in terms of a lot of fans were hyping him up too much and people were saying that, you know, can this guy live up to the hype? And I think the reason is because the likes of Djokovic, Nadal, Federer have been dominating for so long, and there've been a couple of hits and misses that have kind of come along that people think maybe this will be the guy that will finally upset those three. So I think tennis fans have been looking for someone to kind of break that hold that those three players have had on men's singles tennis. And I think Alcaraz came along and people thought, wow, this is finally going to be the guy that's going to do that. And I guess he did in that instance in that Wimbledon final. Since then, he hasn't been that great. Mm. I think he's had a couple of shaky results and he's kind of underperformed.
Yeah.
But I think that was a great moment in men's singles tennis in terms of seeing what the next gen might be.
Yeah.
He might still go through a lot of adversity, Alcaraz. Yeah. He is still young and I think he still has a lot to learn. But I think that particular final was a pivotal moment in terms of what we may see in the future of men's singles tennis.
Mm-hmm. And just 1 month before the final, his body collapsed under the huge pressure of facing Djokovic at the French Open final. But at Wimbledon,
semifinal.
Semifinal.
Yeah, and that's a particularly difficult tournament. I think it's a lot more physical than the other Grand Slam events. Mm. Yeah. There's something about the French Open that looks a lot more physical and physically demanding, I should say.
Mm-hmm. But at Wimbledon, he managed to sustain the tension and came from one set down to win the game. Mm. So it's fair to say that he was also improving in terms of his mentality and mindset during these games. And I think also his win is really inspiring to these young generation of tennis players. You know, Novak Djokovic has always been destroying the hopes and dreams.
The hopes and dreams of youngsters.
Of countless younger challengers at the major tournaments. He was like this insurmountable mountain to them.
Killing the dreams of youngsters. Oh, shame.
Yeah, but Alcaraz did it. He proved that Djokovic is not invincible. And showed his peers how to beat him, with more self-belief and maybe hone up your skill sets, add more weapons to your arsenal. You can did it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see in terms of Djokovic's ability to maintain this level for however long he can do it, because I think some of the factors that we just mentioned in that Wimbledon final will count against him. He needs to be overly prepared for, I think, every match that he faces, particularly when he's in those Grand Slam tournaments and in the knockout phases. And I think he also needs to be aware that even though he is playing at this incredible level and has this experience and confidence and world-class ability, unfortunately, he is going to be aging. And when he comes up against someone that is at a similar level to him, maybe not close to that level, but at least on an even playing field, I suppose, youth will definitely be a factor, particularly if that opponent that he faces uses their youth and their vigor and their stamina to their advantage and plays a game that forces Djokovic to use more physicality than I guess he likes to use. So I think that's something that's going to be interesting to see how Djokovic manages the latter phases of his career. But like we've said, ever since that final, he's just been absolutely dominating things. As we saw Yang Guang in the ATP finals, where he managed to claim a record 7th title. Mm. And after the match, in post-match comments, he said that he wants to go on to win the Golden Slam by winning, all 4 Grand Slams and the Olympic Games gold medal in Paris in 2024. Is this something he can do?
Well, if he really makes it happen, I would call him the greatest athlete ever. Not just in tennis, but in all sports.
Yeah.
From a huge Djokovic fan.
But even me, I'm not a particularly big Djokovic fan, but if he achieves that, it's going to be very difficult to keep him out of the greatest of all time conversation, not just in tennis, but I think in sport, like you've said.
Yeah, but just to think about it, he will turn 37 years old in 2024. And this year, I can tell he's already got some heavy legs in some matchups against the big names. Mm-hmm. And he already started to give up on some difficult shots he used to chase down no matter how.
Mm. He applauds them sometimes, I've noticed. When he's playing against some competition, if someone hits a really good shot against him, and I've never seen Djokovic do this before, he actually applauds his opponent, which is something new.
Yeah, and he's turned very smart on point selection now. Of course, for some key points, he would go all out, but he would choose to conserve his energy a little bit. Yeah. For some points that aren't necessarily decisive, he would even give up on those points. Mm. You can tell just a few points separated Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner in the ATP Finals matches. I think the gap between Djokovic and the up-and-coming generation players is becoming smaller, and Djokovic is aware of that himself.
Do you think that's got to do with Djokovic's aging, or do you think that these young players are getting better, or is it a combination of the two?
I have to say Djokovic is becoming slower.
So it's more due to his decline rather than the increasing abilities of these next-gen players.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's a Wimbledon final loss against Alcaraz is an example.
Yeah.
Yes, perhaps Djokovic can win more Grand Slams, maybe four, maybe even five. But winning all the Grand Slams plus the Olympic title in a single season at age of 37 is just too difficult. Not saying it's impossible, but highly unlikely. Though I think Djokovic should focus on the Olympics next year.
Yeah, that's something that he never achieved.
So I guess that's the one thing that's not on his trophy mantle.
Yeah, he should definitely put priority on that.
Yeah.
That's the only event where he lags behind Rafael Nadal.
Probably Wimbledon too. I'm sure he would love to avenge that final loss. I don't think we'll see Djokovic retire before he gets one more Wimbledon victory. So maybe those should be his two focuses next year, Wimbledon and the Olympics.
But if Djokovic misses the 2024 Olympics, he would miss the trophy forever, I think. I don't see Djokovic win the Olympic title in Los Angeles when he's 41.
Yeah, no, that's highly unlikely.
Yeah. As a Djokovic fan myself, I'm just being realistic. Golden Slam is a big, big ambition. But if Djokovic didn't achieve it in his prime time when he was 27, 28 years old, I don't really see Djokovic can make it happen at age of 37.
I'm not so sure. You know, I think, of course, the aging process and the tired legs and that kind of thing will be a determining factor. But then again, I also think that the level of competition that he's facing now is not as great as it was when he was in his, you know, mid to late 20s. So I think he faced a lot of adversity in his 20s and wasn't able to do it at that stage. And he's dealing with his own different adversities now. But I think it's, in a weird way, it's actually going to be less difficult for him to achieve it, not physically, but just because of the level of competition he's facing. I think besides Alcaraz, I don't really see any of the other
challengers
really taking him all the way.
Maybe Medvedev?
Yeah. What are your thoughts? I mean, look, it's a huge ask. Like Yang Guang said, particularly at his age and, you know, managing injuries and trying to keep his body at peak condition for not just four, but five major events in a calendar year, I think is a massive ask. Do you think it's something that he can do, Tianyu?
I think he certainly has a chance to achieve that. Because, you know, for technically speaking, he's the most all-around player in this whole world.
Yeah,
right.
And
now,
the most experienced, the most talented.
Yeah, the most experienced. You know, like we said, he plays so smartly. He knows how when to put his energy in. And when to, you know, maybe just relax and just give up some points. And also, in terms of motivation, he said himself, it is still present. And it is still inspires him to keep improving and fighting for the chance to clinch a Golden Slam. And Steffi Graf was the only person to have ever achieved in 1988. So I think the eagerness to win and to simply be the best will drive Djokovic to play the best tennis he could.
But that's the thing. You can be as driven and eager as you can possibly be. But then again, when you're facing the age of 37 and the physical demands that he's going to be facing, it might not be enough. Do you think that he can manage himself throughout that entire year and deliver a world-class performance five times?
I think it's really, really, really hard. Just like I said, physically. Yeah, it definitely won't be a smooth journey. You know, first of all, if you want to achieve a Golden Slam, next year is going to be a very packed season. The Paris Olympics will take place from late July to August, and less than 2 weeks after the Wimbledon and less than a month before the US Open. So there's little time to take a rest. If he wants to win them all, and apart from the demanding schedule, he also needs to adapt to the surface transitions, changing from, you know, from grass, clay, and then to hard courts. It will be really challenging for a player to get used to the court in a short notice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and again, he would definitely have to face the challengers head on, even though they are not as competitive as the ones that they used to face, like the likes of Jannik Sinner, Carlo Alcaraz, and Daniel Medvedev. But the But they still got strength. They got the ability to challenge his dominance. Mm. So yeah, even though they will be under a lot of pressure when playing against such a player like Djokovic, I think Djokovic himself will also have to deal with the pressure problems. He needs to have some great self-belief and a strong mentality.
Oh, he's got that. He's got that in bucket loads.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be the least of his problems. I think that the biggest challenge that he's going to face is just the physical challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, I think at his age and the way that he's been looking after himself for such a long period of time, he's probably one of the most disciplined tennis players out there right now in terms of his recovery and diet and all of that kind of thing. So he probably at his age is giving himself the best possible chance in his entire career that he's had to achieve this Golden Slam. But then again, the natural physical limitations that he'll face is something that will probably be his biggest hindrance.
Yeah.
So it should be a very interesting, it'll probably be one of the most interesting phases of his career to watch the 2024 season. It should be very, very interesting indeed. Yang Guang, we've spoken about the level of competition that Novak Djokovic has faced. And I'm of the opinion that lately it hasn't been that great, but in the past he has faced some incredible, you know, GOAT level tennis players, one of them being Rafael Nadal. And it is believed that Rafael Nadal will make his return in the 2024 season. Do you think that we will see him reach the elite levels that he has reached in the past?
I won't put money on it.
Me either, honestly.
Because by the time he was out, I already noticed some sharp decline from Nadal. And returning to the level he used to play after being away from the tennis court for this long at age of 38, it's just too hard. Roger Federer didn't make it, I don't see Nadal, who plays more physically demanding tennis, can make it. If Nadal can play at Australian Open, I think the best he can do might be somewhere around the quarterfinals.
I was thinking that too. Yeah, I don't see him progressing past the semifinals. I think if Nadal achieves a final in 2024, that would be an incredible achievement for him. What do you think?
Even a first round crash would not be a surprise
unfortunately. Yeah, it's sad to watch these declines, right? I mean, you know, we remember them at their peak. And unfortunately, you know, they do try and go on for as long as possible. But sometimes, you know, we have to witness that decline because they expect so much of themselves and they want to go on for as long as possible. But as a fan, it's quite hard to watch.
Yeah. And I think 2024 would be the last year of Nadal's professional career. And the rest of his career would be very much like the final 1 or 2 years of Roger Federer, I think.
Another tough thing to watch, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to watch that they are returning to his competitiveness and resume this rivalry with Djokovic and offers the epic matchups between legends, but I don't see it coming.
Yeah, and Djokovic has come out and said that he does want to face Nadal at least one more time, so hopefully that's something that we can see, and hopefully it is a high-level tennis match.
Yeah.
And speaking of 2024, Tianyu, of course, this year we saw the breakout of some of China's biggest tennis stars, Zhang Qinwen, Zhang Jiujin, Wu Yibing. They all had pretty incredible 2023 seasons. Of course, Zhang Qinwen going as far as she did in the US Open, winning the Asian Games title, and Zhang Jiujin winning the Asian Games title as well. What do you think that these types of Chinese athletes in the sport of tennis can achieve in the 2024 season?
Yeah, I think Chinese players have really made some breakthroughs this season. On the women's side, I think Zhen Qinwen is really going to be shining again in 2024. He winning her first WTA title and making her first major quarterfinal at the US Open and winning a gold at the Asian Games will definitely give a boost to her confidence.
Mm. A lot of pressure, though.
Yeah.
That's another thing. So hopefully she can deal with that because she is still quite young.
Yeah. Mm. And we could already see some big improvements on her technical skills in terms of in the games she ever played this year, especially her serve. Mm. So I think there should be a lot to expect from her in 2024.
I think Zhang Qinwen, for the Grand Slam, I think she needs to be patient on it because one or two mistakes in high level events like the Grand Slams can cost you victories. And Zhang Qinwen to me hasn't been that consistent. Maybe that's where
she needs to improve.
Yeah,
right.
She needs to work on.
For sure. But that is all we have time for on this week's episode of Sideline Story. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, we will be back next week with our latest topic, and we'll see you then.